This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Look at that. So much work. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Queen of the Ratchet podcast. You know me as Queen of the Ratchet, but I am also Joshua Gilliard. I am here with Doshinko.com. Let them know a little bit about yourself.
My name is Doshinko. I am an alkaline electric herbalist based in Atlanta, Miami, and New York. I basically help people reverse diseases using the alkaline electric diet and also alkaline electric herbs. I am one of the family members of the late herbalist Dr. Sebi, and we're basically just continuing on his work and, you know, helping people to change their lives.
Were you close to Dr. Sebi growing up as a child?
Actually, I wasn't. The thing is my uncle and my aunts, they would travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was more like sometimes they'd pop into town and be like, oh, they're in town, you know. And so you would just hang out at like family parties and things like that. And so really and truly, he and my aunt were just like, you know, my uncle and aunts that were always out of town. We barely ever saw, you know, we didn't see them that often. And it was more my aunt who was in town a lot more. But we didn't really become close until I went to Honduras to live there. I was living in Honduras for like 3 months.
Wow.
And then that's when I, you know, that's when we became close. You know, yeah, he and I kind of had a lot in common.
Yeah.
There are certain aspects of his personality that was like completely different from mine. Although looking back now, I realize a lot of the things that he was telling me were completely true. And, you know, based on my experiences over the last couple of years, I completely understand why old man was telling me certain things. And, you know, I was like, damn, dude was right, you know? And the fact is the way that people know him isn't like the same that I know him, mm-hmm. you know? And in fact, even while I was in Honduras, I didn't even know he was famous. You know, yes, I knew he was, you know, did speeches. Yes, I know he was like really close to Lisa Lopez. You know, I've never met her, but I was, you know, I lived in the same village that she was when she was visiting him. And, yeah, so I didn't even know at the time that he was like as famous as, you know, he is now. He was just, you know, my crazy uncle, you know, Alfredo, crazy,
yeah,
crazy old man talking about all these, you know, stories. And I kind of wish that we all have our regrets, you know, especially when it comes to our elders. I kind of wish I had taken more time to sit down with him and pick his head a lot more. Sometimes I just wasn't in the mood for it because, you know, I was a lot younger and in a lot of these things I kind of cared about a certain time and didn't really care about. And so I do wish that at the time I had sat down and, you know, even recorded some of the things that we would talk about. But yeah, a lot of stuff of my experience with Sebi is really personal. Not so much in the aspect of healing. The healing aspect came from my aunts and my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who were in the background who were helping, you know, taking care of the clients or doing the consultations, making the herbs, coming up with the herbal formulas. And they're the ones who really trained me.
So there's a lot of information, right, that gets put out there about Dr. Sebi that becomes conspiracy theories. There's a lot of conspiracy theories about what is being put out about how to heal. Why hasn't the family come more forward in the public eye and took down some of these false conspiracy theories about what Dr. Sebi was actually saying.
Can you be a little bit more specific about conspiracy theories? Because there are quite a few, and so certain theories would need to be addressed in certain ways. So in order to answer your question a little bit more thoroughly, could you talk about which conspiracy theories?
One of the biggest conspiracy theories, like when I was studying him, and especially when you see on TikTok, was that the government had him offed because he was putting out information about healing and the idea of what food can do, and like the idea that we shouldn't be eating certain type of things. So, and I mean, I'm not fearful of that, but do you believe that there was this idea of like, hey, you cannot say that, let's cut him off from saying these type of things?
So it's a mix. One, me myself as an herbalist, and all herbalists do need to be careful about what they're saying, because, you know, the fact is the U.S. government, is the American system is really set up to make money off of people. They make money off of people being sick. So this is the reason why a lot of synthetic foods are being placed, a lot of synthetic materials are being placed in foods, because, you know, they put sugar in almost everything. With sugar, it helps to deteriorate the body, causing nervous issues, causing an increase of cancer, diabetes. And there's all these kind of medications for this. So yes, the American system is basically made to make people sick so that way they can make money off of them. When people aren't sick, they're not making money. So we as herbalists do have to be careful, especially about using the word cure. I myself don't use it. Me and my aunt, Mrs. Dr. Sebi, my aunt Pat, we kind of go back and forth like, yo, we're not in Honduras anymore. We're not in the Caribbean. You can't say them kind of things. But she's like, I don't care. Da, 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 da. And but all of my cousins and my cousins, aunt, I'm sorry, my cousin's mother, Amaha, we avoid using that word just to avoid the headache of being taken to court like Sebi. None of us wants to have to go through that all over again. So, yes, we do have to be careful about what is said because we are a threat to the system. It is what it is. As with Sebi being killed, being taken out by the government, no, that's not true. And the fact is we know who killed or who unalived him. We have evidence. And this is something that is really, really, painful for me to talk because it was a family member. This same family member attempted to do it once before in Honduras. There was a time that Sebi wasn't eating correctly. Sebi went through these things where, or these stages where he would just stop eating alkaline. Okay, when he would do that, you know, sometimes he would just, you know, do fast or, you know, take the herbal formulas and basically cleanse it out of this body. But, you know, being in the type of position that he was, it was really stressful. And on top of that, there were people who were out to get him, not so much the government, like, you know, just enemies that you would have. All right. And this is part of the reason why he was so mistrustful of people, because he just never knew who he could trust, because there were always people who were after him for his money. But there was a one time in specific where he went overboard and he got sick, and he got so sick to the point that he was unconscious. He was bedridden, and in his house in Honduras, it was a big, beautiful glass house, but it had stairs going up. And, someone during that time put Vaseline and water and oil all along the rails and all along the steps, hoping that he would come down and fall because the stairs were steep. All right. Mm-hmm. This is the same person that paid somebody else in Honduras to create a poison that was able to be snuck into the jail. And, you know, there were other people there that were supposedly close with him, and that probably were accessories in order to be able to sneak the poison in their body. Now, a lot of people, you know, this may be a weird concept for a weird thought for a lot of people, but in the Caribbean, especially when it comes to spiritualists, especially when it comes to people who practice any kind of Afro-religion or Afro-craft, they can create poisons that can't be traced. So basically he was poisoned. And this is one of the, when he had a conversation with my cousin Usha, one of the things that he told her was, I'm going on a water fast because I can't eat anything because somebody was trying to poison me. And apparently that person was able to just put it in water or put it however, because there are certain poisons that you don't even have to ingest. You can just touch it. There's many cases where people would make powders and just leave it outside your door. You walk outside to your door barefoot and you end up poisoned. And they're not able to trace it. So, you know, somehow poison was being able to get in. And there's also a lot of things that were conveniently set up for people to make money off of his death right after. Say, for example, all of a sudden, when he, while he was in jail, the corporation or his company in California, all of a sudden was switched from an LLC to a corporation while he was in jail. So how can you sign documents to switch a company from an LLC to a corporation if you're in jail? When he dies, of course, who takes over the company? The people who were part of the corporation. So, conveniently, he dies and people are able to make money off of it.
What was, that's a lot. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back and talk more about Dr. Sabi, because I need to ingest everything that I just heard. We will be right back after this commercial break, baby.